This is David Tyler, Director of Gateway Biblical Counseling and Training Center in Fairview Heights, Illinois. You're listening to the Biblical Counseling Marriage and Family Podcast. Today's episode is, It's Okay to Be Angry, But. At the end of this episode, I'll tell you how to get a free download copy of my book, Deceptive Diagnosis, When Sin is Called Sickness. It's okay to be angry, but. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul says, Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. I was speaking to a church group in Chesterfield, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis. During the Q&A, a woman asked me, What problem do I deal with the most in counseling? Without hesitation, I answered, anger. Husbands angry with their wives, wives with their husbands, parents angry at their kids, kids angry at their parents, angry at the boss, angry at the teacher, angry at the relative, the neighbor. Not all anger is wrong. Ephesians 4:26, Paul says, be angry. It's okay to be angry. But then Paul adds, and do not sin. When you read the Old New Testament, you can't miss the fact that God gets angry. For example, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, it says, Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. God said to Moses, You're going to be my spokesman. I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh. Moses said, I can't. Send someone else. And God said, No, I want to send you. Moses objected again. And then in verse 14, it says, Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. In Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is in the synagogue on a Sabbath. There was a man with a deformed hand, and it says that the high priests and Pharisees were watching him to see if he would violate the Sabbath by healing the man. In verse 5, it says, After looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, Jesus righteously was angry at their sinful attitude and wicked motives. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. God is righteously angry because of man's ungodliness and unrighteousness. You see, the goal is not to eliminate all anger, just sinful anger. Unfortunately, I've discovered that a lot of believers don't know how to distinguish between righteous and sinful anger. They think their sinful anger is righteous anger. The result is they remain unreconciled to their husband, wife, mother, father, son, daughter, and God. Righteous anger is a response to sin against God. Did Jesus run the money changers out of the temple because they offended him personally? No. In John chapter 2, verse 16, Jesus said, Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. Jesus' focus was not on himself, but on the Father. His anger was a response to sin against the Father. You see, our self-focus is why we have problems. Marriage problems and family problems, problems with neighbors and relatives. We are so self-oriented, biased towards self. I get angry because I am offended. It has nothing to do with sin against God. I am offended. You have inconvenienced me. You hurt my feelings. You didn't do what I wanted. You didn't do it the way I wanted it done. You didn't listen to my ideas. You didn't treat me right. He cut me off in traffic. He walked right past me and didn't say hello. We are so bent towards self-justification and self-deception, we convince ourselves sinful anger is righteous anger. Righteous anger is when God has been offended, not you, not me. You are angry because of sin that offends God. Righteous anger always expresses itself in godly ways. It doesn't blow up. It doesn't clam up. Righteous anger brings unity, not disunity. James chapter 1, verse 20 tells us the anger of man has some very harmful effects. For example, James says it doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. In other words, it doesn't promote godliness and righteousness. It doesn't solve problems. An example of a general principle of anger is in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. It says, "Man's anger stirs up strife." Sinful anger does not solve problems. It creates more problems, and it leads to more anger and more problems. An example, somebody doesn't get their way at home, at work, at church. They get angry. They tell somebody else. That person says, "Well, that's terrible. I don't blame you for being mad. That makes me mad." He goes home and tells his wife. His wife says, "That makes me mad." You see how it stirs up strife? Let's say a person gets mad but doesn't say anything. You see, some people blow up. Some clam up. This person clams up. He gives you the silent treatment. You say to yourself, "Well, if he's not going to talk to me, I won't talk to him." Notice the revenge in that. God's righteousness is not being promoted by either one of those people. Later on, you tell somebody else. The other person says, "Well, I don't blame you. I wouldn't talk to him either." You see how it promotes ungodliness and unrighteousness? A woman gets mad at her husband. She calls her sister on the telephone. Her sister says, "Well, I would have slapped that smile right off his face." Later that day at Walmart, she sees her brother-in-law. And she goes up to her brother-in-law and she says, "Did you say such and such about my sister? I don't know why she married you." And then walks off. Husband gets home from Walmart and he tells his wife. His wife says, "My sister said that about you?" She calls her sister up on the phone and chews her out. The result? They haven't talked in 5 years. What I just described really happened. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Don't associate with an angry person, or you will learn his ways." I had some parents call me up and said they wanted to bring their 6-year-old son, who has an anger problem, wanted to bring him to counseling. Now, I knew the boy wasn't born with an anger problem, and I suspected, based on Proverbs 22, that the parents may have an anger problem. Kid watches and sees how mom and dad handle their problems by yelling and arguing. He learns it, practices it, and now he has an anger problem. He's habituated to anger. You see how the anger of man stirs up strife? You see how it doesn't achieve the righteousness of God? Let me tell you what man's sinful anger does accomplish. It ruins homes, families, churches. It vents. It blows up. It curses. It hits. It clams up. It pouts. It broods. And it leads to all kinds of complicating sin. I had a lady and a husband come to me. Never met him before in my life. And when they walked into my office, I knew that that woman was mad. She had a mad look on her face. And so I said, "Okay, tell me why you came for counseling." The husband began to speak and he began to talk about how he had done some very sinful things and he was repentant and he had asked God to forgive him. He had asked his wife to forgive him and he loved his wife and he wanted to reconcile. And then I asked the wife, I said, "Okay, tell me your point of view." And she said this, "I'm angry at my husband. I'm staying angry at my husband. Nothing you're going to say is going to change my mind." And I said to her, "Your anger has become an idol." Righteous anger expresses itself in godly ways. Righteous anger controls itself. It doesn't yell and scream and stomp off. It doesn't clam up, pout, go to the other room and brood. Righteous anger focuses on solving problems biblically. It promotes godliness, righteousness, and unity. I'll have a new podcast every Wednesday. If you'd like to have it delivered to your inbox, as well as other helpful resources for marriage and family, then sign up and receive a free download copy of my book, Deceptive Diagnosis: When Sin is Called Sickness. Just go to my website, DavidTylerBooks.com. That's DavidTylerBooks.com. Thank you for listening.